Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Things are going to start happening to me now.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, August 16, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Rachel. Day 574 of the Biden-Harris administration, 83 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram, TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon is BobSeskaShow.com. Plus, you can follow Buzz Burbank at Michael J. Elston on Twitter. Link in the description. And look, he's sitting right over there.
Can you say Buzz Burbank?
I'm sorry, okay?
You said it all.
I didn't know I couldn't take those home.
You took the files home again, didn't you?
Sorry.
Your standing
show files.
Order. Damn you and your standing order.
It's just a misunderstanding, Bob. Hi, everybody. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And he's here to return us to sanity. I'm here to return some classified jokes. This past week or so has been great for Democrats, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Gas prices down. Mm-hmm. Trump headed to prison. Inflation Reduction Act, Trump headed to prison. Great jobs numbers, Trump headed to prison. Trump says he declassified the documents he stole before he took them to Mar-a-Lago. That's like a shoplifter peeling off the price tag first.
That's exactly right. Holy shit, yeah.
Trump pled the Fifth Amendment the other day, 440 times on Friday he pled the Fifth. Under hours of questioning by New York's Attorney General. And no one was more surprised he could hang in that long than Stormy Daniels. Didn't think it possible. Republicans were tweeting this week, "I stand by Donald Trump."
Mm-hmm.
They may have to when you figure the size of a prison cell.
These are home runs, my friend.
And Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani's been ordered to testify for a grand jury that's investigating election tampering.
Aww.
He tried to fight it, but now Rudy will testify right after a cold shower and a pot of coffee.
More music, the Bob Seska Show.
Brand new Rocky Mountain Mike. I love this one.
His name was Donnie. He was an ex-pres with yellow freak combed over hair. And a tire, what a spare. He was deranged, day and cuckoo cocoa. And when he thought he was a star, he got bailed out by Bill Barr. And then the FBI, they came and stayed till 5. They were feds and they had a warrant. Who could ask for more? With the dope from Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
You may just flee to Santiago. They busted
from Mar-a-Lago.
this
Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. This goes right to the top of the list of one of my all-time favorite Rocky Mountain Mike tracks. Sounds like Marion Ann Arbor in there. Sounds like Jody Hamilton in there. I'm not 1,000% certain on the backup singers, but I'm fairly sure that that's who they are.
Nicely
Wonderful.
Done.
Yes,
Nicely
yes. Done. Instant classic. We will be replaying that one. Get ready. Over and over and over again until you're sick of it. Okay.
Well, I feel like we're off to a pretty good start here today.
So far, so good. You know,
has us in such a buoyant mood, Bob?
That's a good question. It was one of those shows where I was telling you before we started that I feel like we're going into today's show and I left the stove on. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I went and listed a bunch of things that have been happening over the past 3 days, and I feel like I didn't list everything. I feel like I'm missing something. I'm forgetting something.
It's time to jump into the blender now.
Well, like, for example, the nuclear weapons story, that was from, Thursday night? That seems like a million years ago.
And yet it's still going.
I guess this is a good problem to have. Is that how the maxim goes? It's a good problem to have?
I think things are looking up in terms of justice for America. If you look at everything that happened, there were four big developments yesterday, all of them very pleasing to us. And this comes in the midst of a bunch of other things that are happening that are very pleasing to us.
Yeah.
So we're seeing justice. We're seeing progress on the part of our government, thanks to Biden and the Democrats. There's a lot to be really happy about today. We're not there yet, but God, it looks hopeful. Somebody posted the wheels of justice turn slowly, but damn when they do.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Here's the thing. If you feel like committing a crime, Buzz, if you're interested in committing a federal crime, I knew you did.
Yeah.
And so I thought, here's some advice for Buzz, now that you've decided to violate the Espionage Act, commit obstruction of justice, maybe destroy documents somewhere along the way. First, before you commit that crime, announce yourself to be a rival of President Biden. Because if you're a political rival of the president, you can do whatever the hell you want, and Fox News is going to defend you. That's how it works, right?
You got a whole network to back you up.
Yeah. And along those lines, I've really been enjoying the conga line of excuses coming from Fox News, coming from Don Jr., coming from Trump himself.
Do you have handy the tape of the little boy who's trying to get out a statement and,
just
can't? As you hear these various excuses that have been given for why Trump took these documents, that's what this is going to be.
Right.
None of these will fly. As you hear each one of these, realize that's not going to fly. That's not going to fly.
Right.
That's not going to fly.
Yeah. And you know what? Just doing this, that's like the whole list. This is them. For the last week now.
Right.
They've got nothing. Nothing.
He's stealing an old Smothers Brothers bit. I think Tommy would, out of frustration, he would say,
Well, first it was the evidence was planted, right? That was the first thing out of the chute last week. And then, contradicting the evidence was planted excuse, Trump declassified the documents by waving his stubby finger over them and anointing them to be declassified, because everything... Everything that Trump touches loses its class.
It doesn't work that way.
Then Trump brought documents to the residence all the time under this imaginary umbrella of an alleged standing order. And we found out, 2 days ago, something like that, John Bolton on Fox News Channel said, I was his national security advisor. There was no such thing as any standing order in the Trump White House.
Bolton says he was in meetings where Trump would look at a document and say, "Can I keep this?"
God damn it. Well, that reminds me of the other excuse from last week coming from Jesse Waters on Fox News Channel. All that was in the basement were golf balls and Oval Office raincoats. You know why? Because Trump's a memento guy.
That's right.
Yes, he's really into mementos and has no idea that classified documents aren't mementos. They belong to the government. They should remain top secret. He does not have the power to, as I said, wave his stubby finger over them and make them unclassified at that point. That's just not how the system works. The hostage rescue team thing, that's a brand new one from Don Jr., right?
Trump, I guess he was amplifying what his dad thought, and that was the hostage rescue team is what they sent in to get, you know, along with the 87,000 IRS agents who are armed and are going to come to your home.
Yeah.
In addition to that, they sent the hostage rescue team in to get these boxes from Trump. That's patently untrue.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I did some investigating into that thing because Don Jr. seemed really certain that it was the hostage rescue team that the FBI sent in for some reason.
Silly
and
boy.
The only thing I could find is that there was a guy on Fox News Channel or Newsmax or one of the really fucked up news networks who happened to have been a member of the hostage rescue team, and he was talking about the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. So right. I think what happened was is
got twisted.
Yeah, Trump or Junior, they were, I don't know, high as a kite on Sudafed or whatever the hell it is they do.
Or they twisted it intentionally. And you know, Fox and Newsmax are in a section on my cable where they have them all grouped together.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up news channels. And it's right there.
Do you really have them all grouped and you've labeled them fucked up news channel? Oh, okay.
No.
But see, that seems like something that you would do. I know you quite well.
I would, actually, yes. I may do that now.
Yes. Plus, we just retreated to yesterday. They stole my passports.
Right.
Which they gave back. They gave the passports back to Trump, you know, so they weren't stolen.
That never happens. Yeah. By the way, when it's time to get a new passport or turn in your passport or whatever, you always have to turn in the old one. You can't keep them.
Yeah.
And he said one of them was expired. And then, so you're saying you had two valid ones. Why do you have two passports? You know, and I guess I there's some uncertainty as to whether any were taken at all. I don't think they were taken now. Anyway, that's just and this is part of the look over here strategy of Donald Trump and his supporters. They know what's happening here. They're just refusing to admit it publicly.
Yeah, well, plus Donald Trump has aliases that he often uses. John Barron, Dennison. Wasn't that one of the ones we heard about from Trump Russia, David Dennison?
Right.
Yeah, so the passports have been returned. So thank God for Donald Trump. He's got his passports back. I guess that's
good
news for him.
Free to leave the country, yes.
Yeah. And then Ben Shapiro yesterday was saying this is a big nothing burger.
Yeah.
Like nothing. I mean, there's not even real prison time attached to
these things. The thing we always have to remember is as patently untrue as these things are, millions, tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people believe this.
Yeah.
They hear it. It confirms what they feel in their gut, whether they have any facts to back it up or not, and they do not. And it's accepted. So that's the scary thing about, you know, we can laugh at how ridiculous the claims are, but a lot of people take this to be the gospel truth, and they take it very seriously.
Yeah, they do. And that's the, I keep saying this, that's the advantage of having this bubble audience, this easily deceived group of people who distrust the mainstream press and therefore will accept whatever the hell it is that the Celebrity Apprentice guy says. One of the most notorious liars and con men in the history of American public life. Yeah, that's the guy. That's their guy. They're totally in on. And that's one of the crazy aspects of all of this is the sheer number of people, especially at the top, the inner circle people, Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows,
Lindsey Graham,
who are putting their reputations on the line. They're putting their futures on the line in defense of this clown. Now, look, if it was someone of unimpeachable character, you know, JFK types, FDR types, Abraham Lincoln types. If it was that, I would get it. But we're talking about the scam artist with whatever it was, 5 bankruptcies and 3 marriages and, you know, just the ongoing, you know, dog and pony show, the relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and grab him by the pussy and all. I mean, all of the horrible things. And they're putting their reputations on the line to defend this guy. And the only valid explanation I've seen for that comes from someone on Twitter who said, well, yeah, that's because they're all the same. They're all kind of carved from the same cloth. They recognize themselves in Donald Trump. So therefore, they line up behind
him. Or in Lindsey's case, what he'd like to be. You know, but it isn't just them. I mean, it is important to point out that those at the top are willing to sacrifice their professional lives for Donald Trump. But while that's going on, and I think you were talking about this too yesterday on Twitter, is that people are giving up their lives for this guy.
Yeah.
People have done these guys who've tried to take on the FBI and some of the violence we've seen over the last few days that clearly was directed at the FBI, has not ended well for the individuals who have taken on the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Yeah.
Guys are dying out there now as they do these one-man fatwas against against the federal government.
Well said. Yeah, yeah. Well, in the meantime, Tucker Carlson was on his show last night after being on vacation all last week, saying that this was all about the Presidential Records Act. And that is not one of the things that generated this search warrant, Tucker Carlson. But of course, his viewers will all go, yeah, Presidential Records Act. There's what? It's a little fine or something. There's no real prison term involved in violating the Presidential Records Act. So what's the big deal here? Again, like Ben Shapiro, nothing. It's a nothing burger.
Well, if you look at the history of Trump scandals, it always goes, I didn't do it. Okay, I did it, but it was legal. Okay, it wasn't legal, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. They keep, they won't allow themselves to be pinned down on any of these things. At least that's that. But that game is just about run out. Justice is catching up with them. Judges are catching up with them. We've reached a very difficult and, at the same time, exciting time to see. It seems inevitable that justice is coming now.
Yeah, well, a big part of this strategy, certainly coming from Donald Trump, is trying to control the narrative. As ridiculous as some of the things sound in that effort, what Trump and his copycats want to do is make sure that we're all talking about their stupid excuses rather than the series of charges, the very real and very serious charges that Donald Trump could face. Donald Trump personally.
I mean,
let's be real about this. It wasn't the Presidential Records Act that generated this search warrant, contrary to what Tucker Carlson was telling his sucker viewers last night. We got three criminal statutes that were listed in this warrant that there was probable cause that Trump was in the process of violating. U.S. Code 793, 18 U.S. Code 793. This is the Espionage Act. Part of this gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. That's a 10-year penalty in prison. The Espionage Act is what we're talking about here. Plus 18 U.S. Code 2071. That's concealment, removal, or mutilation generally, which carries a penalty of up to 3 years in prison and disqualification from holding office. And then to me, what is the most serious of this? And you think, oh my God, the Espionage Act isn't the most serious one? Well, this is neck and neck in seriousness. Yeah. This is 18 U.S. Code 1519, which is destruction, alteration, or falsification of records in federal investigations and bankruptcy, carries a penalty of up to 20 years in prison. This is the obstruction of justice, or the potential obstruction of justice charge. And that's the one that's going to sneak up behind Donald Trump. It's going to sneak up behind Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro and Dan Bongino and Jesse Waters and Greg Gutfeld, all the rest of them. And they're not even looking at that. And then suddenly they and their viewers are going to go, what the hell was that? Did someone just smack me in the head? Did I just get sucker punched with this? No, it's right there in the search warrant. It was released last week. We know it.
I want to circle back to a question about Trump and prison.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I can't underscore enough the importance of the events of yesterday, particularly at the let's take the Manhattan DA, for example, where, you know, we don't exactly know what's going on there. We know that Weisselberg seems to have negotiated himself a sweet plea deal where he gets like maybe 5 months or 100 days or something in a nice prison, you know, not your usual, in one of the country club prisons, and that he doesn't have to testify. Because he's I don't know if he pleaded the fifth, but he can't now that he's copped to this guilty plea, now that he's agreed to plead guilty for a light sentence, he can no longer plead the fifth. So any future court proceedings, he can't, because his guilt has already been established. So he can't incriminate himself beyond his guilty plea. He's already guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So now he can be forced to testify, and maybe that's what Weisselberg wanted. You know, maybe this gets Weisselberg the deal he wanted. But this is progress, and what it tells us, and I'll have to turn to Georgia and tell you what all of this tells us. Georgia yesterday is seeing the subpoena of Lindsey Graham being upheld by a judge, seeing Rudy Giuliani's subpoena being enforced and him being told he's a target of the investigation. If Giuliani's a target of the investigation, then so is or will soon be Donald Trump, because those two are joined at the hip in this. Anything Rudy did, Donald knew, and anything Donald wanted, Rudy knew.
Oh, yeah.
If Rudy is the target of a criminal investigation, then so is or soon will be Donald Trump.
Yes, and with the Alan Weisselberg thing with the Manhattan DA, that's Alvin Bragg. I remember like a month ago, maybe it was 2 months ago, losing track of time in the fire hose of news, of course. But we were all rending our garments over the fact that there was that Alvin Bragg was backing away from one of the investigations. Well, Alvin Bragg doesn't appear to be backing away from this investigation, which could actually end up taking down the Trump organization. This is a criminal investigation involving Alan Weisselberg. And now there's a new development where they found a whole tranche of tax documents in the basement of one of Trump's lawyers.
Cool.
Yeah. And this involves, I think, Matthew Calamari, Matty the Squid. That's his mob name. I'm making that up. Or everyone's like everyone's been making that up.
Let's say it's real.
Yes. So this is a fascinating development. It's like the trash compactor walls in Star Wars slowly closing in on Donald Trump. And there's no 3PO up there with R2 ready to stop it. That's not going to happen. This is going to continue to close in. We've got Fulton County. We got the Manhattan DA. We've got Letitia James. Then you got the grand jury in DC investigating the document theft. And see, the whole thing with the document theft is it's ultimately not really about the document theft, because there is something else that's going on in that context that we now have videotape footage of that Mar-a-Lago turned over to the FBI, which is turning it over to the grand jury.
It's security video.
Yeah, security video.
Apparently of people carrying boxes from one place to another.
Yes.
So we're going to see where that goes. The point of all this is that this is very real now for Donald Trump. Donald Trump has to be scared now. He has to know people are flipping on him. People are being forced to testify against him. The walls are, as you said, closing in. So let's say, and I think this is a fair prediction, let's say Donald Trump is convicted and is tried and convicted for any of these serious crimes. Mm-hmm. And all the ones you've mentioned are just as serious as all the others, really.
Yeah.
It would be better to get him on something big, but all of these are prosecutable. And I think he will be, and I think he'll be convicted. So now it's time to take him to prison.
Yeah.
Is the Secret Service a problem?
Well, maybe. That's one of the concerns that I've had. In fact, we talked about that a little bit on Thursday's show, and Jody had a pretty good suggestion. I don't know if it's a practical one, but it was one that kind of makes sense, and that is to deputize a couple of prison guards who've maybe gone through a security clearance or something like that and have them become sort of de facto Secret Service agents to protect Trump, or maybe a prison cell that's sort of... I saw this one on Twitter. It's sort of like the Hannibal Lecter prison cell in that art museum in the middle of Silence of the Lambs, where he's just held there and he's kept by himself. Maybe that is in the offing. I don't know. And that's a really good question. And I wonder if we'll eventually see the answer to that. I wonder if he'll maybe end up getting one of those ankle bracelets and he'll have to stay at Bedminster or something like that as a house arrest.
I think the Secret Service can be expected to say, no, that's prison is not doable for our agent. We're not going to deputize, and I don't think the Republicans would like it. You know, we told a couple of these Yahoo prison guards that they're now Secret Service agents.
Yeah.
That may not fly. The Secret Service itself probably wouldn't stand for that. So I think maybe it's going to be a form of house arrest, involving the bracelet and the whole thing.
And here's my bigger concern. I'm not as concerned about the Secret Service thing as I am about the possibility that a Republican gets elected in 2024 and then pardons Donald Trump on January 20th, 2025. That's my biggest concern in all of this. And that's what should give speed to this process. I hope that, and certainly you don't want to rush the process, but you want to bear that in mind. You want to bear in mind the fact that the Joe Biden administration, for one reason or another, could end up coming to an end on January 20th, 2025, at which time, if it's a Republican who replaces him, irrespective of who that might be. And if the charges are light enough that are pardonable and that president can get away with that. I mean, there may be something on this videotape. There may be something that we learn in the process of this trial that makes Donald Trump absolutely a third rail, totally toxic for even Republicans to bother to try to pardon.
We keep thinking that. We thought when all this talk of treason came up, stealing these documents and possibly exposing them to foreign governments. And we don't know that part yet for sure, but it's a decent guess.
Yeah.
We thought, okay, well, now the Republicans will. No, they're not coming around on this either. It's become obvious that no matter how high this goes, I do think some will fall off. I really do. But, man, there are some high-profile people who are in this, as you pointed out, to the very end. And it's just, man, I can't imagine where that might ultimately be headed. It's very concerning.
Well, if he maybe sold or traded some of these documents to the Saudis, for example, that might be a difficult climb for a Republican president to pardon. You know,
true.
That seems like a step too far. I may be underestimating their absolute brazenness when it comes to these things.
But. Well, they keep defying our expectations. No, I think your fear of what will happen with a Republican president in 2025 is very realistic.
Yeah.
I think that's very likely what would happen, which again underscores the importance of Democrats winning. Not only in 24, but this year, now in 22.
Yeah.
And there's some very, very good news on that front. The numbers are looking much better for Democrats now. In some cases, we have the lead. We are at the very least tied with them in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this if we will get off our asses and do it. And
that's right.
Now, polls show that voter motivation among Democrats is now equal to, it hasn't been until now, but it's now equal to what the Republicans, their motivation level. So it's up to us to go a little higher. We got to go, or a lot higher. It would be great because then we could crush this thing for good, but we've got to exceed that. We've got a real chance now. As we were saying last week, we have a real opportunity, and this is the only way to prevent these terrible things from happening.
Yeah. And going back to the Saudi thing for a second before we move on, I want to mention this story that goes back to February of 2019. Uh-huh. And I want to underscore before I mention this particular story from ABC News and some other reporting of the time that it's okay to speculate what Trump may have done on top of what we already know. Uh-huh. And that's fine. Just don't get married to some of the wild speculation. I'm not talking to you in particular, Buzz. I'm just saying in general, sometimes we do that. It certainly happened during the Trump-Russia investigation where there was lots of speculation and we kind of went way out on a limb in some cases.
And we don't have to because we've already got enough.
Yes, exactly. But in this case, there's a story that dropped in February of 2019. And the headline from ABC News was, "Whistleblowers sounded alarm about nuclear deal pushed by Trump advisors, colon, report. Multiple whistleblowers sounded alarms about a plan backed by advisors to Trump to transfer sensitive nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia, according to a new report released by House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings, the late Elijah Cummings.
Yes.
House Democrats, who have been examining this issue for months, said they plan to investigate whether people close to Trump sought to profit by using White House connections to gain federal approvals." And so this all involves something that we're kind of talking about right now.
And then Jared got $2 billion from the Saudis for we don't know why.
Yes.
And
so
Trump was caught with classified nuclear documents. It's probably all coincidence, Bob. I don't. But you're right. You know, it's dangerous to get our hopes up, to get our expectations up. This may not be the case. It sure looks like it to me. But we've got enough already. That's the important thing. We've got enough serious evidence of the most serious crimes here that, we need to know the truth and the whole truth, but we already have enough to prosecute successfully.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what Fox News has to gain or what their audience has to gain by misleading people about what these charges actually are.
The Fox audience wants to be assured that everything's okay with Donald Trump, and Fox is happy to do that because Fox is afraid of what will happen if they don't.
Yeah.
Fox is afraid of what will happen if they start reporting the truth. Mm-hmm. So they will make stuff up if they have to keep that base, that Trump base, happy.
Yes, they will. And they're eventually going to get blindsided. They will. They'll get smacked, as I said before, they'll get smacked in the back of the head by this news when it actually drops. And maybe that'll generate some sort of new conspiracy theory about it or whatever. It just,
and then they'll be back to DeSantis at that point.
But. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I wonder what Ron DeSantis is thinking. Speaking of Ron DeSantis.
Well, I think he loves to see Trump go down, and he's doing a great job of appealing to Trump's base. So he's well positioned to step in. First, he's going to have to get reelected governor. And, you know, he has the lead in most polls, or did the last time I looked. I'm excited to report that as of this morning, at least one poll here in Florida, one reliable poll, has Val Demings 4 points ahead of Marco Rubio.
Yes.
So these are very encouraging things, and I know similar things are going on in other states. The Republicans have pulled their funding from Wisconsin. Oh, I'm trying to remember. So from at least three states.
Wow, they've given up. They've given up on Ron Johnson, huh?
Yeah, and Pennsylvania. They pulled their money out of Pennsylvania. And there was one other. I can't remember if it was Nevada or Arizona. I don't remember, but one of those.
Yeah.
So they see the writing on the wall. There's talk that this red wave that we've been hearing so much about is going to be more of a ripple. The Republicans, at where we are right now, Republicans may still take the House. It's up to us to turn that around if we can. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the picture is looking very good.
You mean to say Bill Maher might have been wrong Friday night when he said that this is going to benefit Donald Trump?
Right. Yes, absolutely. I don't remember the last time Bill Maher was right about something.
Oh, my God. The lack of knowledge in terms of what is the rule of law. And the rule of law means the law gets top priority. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that if you whine enough, that gets top priority. Or if your followers get bellicose enough, that takes top priority. Or if, you know, the person suspected of committing crimes happens to be an ex-president who has a history of malfeasance. That doesn't take precedence either. The rule of law rules. That's the way that goes. And it's shocking that after, you know, how many years of Donald Trump being on, 7 years of Donald Trump being on the political stage this time around, that we still don't understand what the rule of law means. Or I should say some of us don't understand what the rule of law means. It's staggering.
Can you believe we've been doing this for nearly 7 years, talking about Trump now? And isn't it sad? Isn't it terribly, terribly sad that Joe Biden's accomplishments, just over the last couple of weeks, but certainly over the last 2 years, dust any previous president.
Oh, yeah.
He's ranked best in so many categories now, despite what his numbers may say. Yep. And I think those are coming up as well. But despite that, his accomplishments are, they're like the third or fourth story down at least because of Trump is at the center of our attention once again. Mm-hmm. And still, we're still not free of him. And I think the voters are tired of it. Maybe voters on both sides. But I know enough people are thinking, well, gee, we elected Joe Biden so the madness would stop. But the madness did not stop. So, you know, we need to do more. So we'll vote Democratic because we're tired of this. We want this to quiet down, to shut down.
Yeah.
And hopefully it does. But can you believe how long we've been centered on this guy?
Oh, I know. And I guess the one silver lining in that is the fact that he no longer has access to the nuclear codes.
Or Twitter.
Yeah, or Twitter. And by the way, did you notice last week he did a little zinger joke with his fundraising emails where he sent out a fundraising email. I forget if it was Save America PAC or whatever the hell it was. And it basically said, the text was, here are the nuclear codes. And then he typed in a series of numbers, and then it was the fundraiser button right below that. Ha, 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 ha. Donald Trump and comedy are like oil and water. They just don't mix. And
he never laughs. He never laughs. I think it would be fun to point this out to Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him laugh?
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
And the only time he comes close is when he's bullying or teasing right. someone, and he'll do a, he'll do one of those. He'll just maybe a little bit of a,
yeah. But has anyone ever seen him laugh? And if that isn't a sign of mental illness, I don't know what is. I just think it would be fun to point that out to Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him laugh?
I know. Well, I want to get into, you're mentioning Biden's list of successes. I want to get into that here in a few minutes. Good. Plus, we have a top five list coming
we
up.
Do.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah. So that and a whole lot more. Obviously, lots more things when it comes to the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago and the DOJ / grand jury investigation into Trump, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I am so here for it. Okay. If you're only listening to the free portion of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this show, you're only hearing the first hour. There's an additional 20 minutes, by the way, of show after the end credits roll at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday episode.
You're missing it.
Yeah. And it's all happening on our Patreon page. That's where you get it. If you're missing it, you can get it on our Patreon page. Of course, I'm talking about the Shadow Docket podcast, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, or simply BobSeskaShow.com. It's completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, and it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Dockets drop every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and they're only going to cost you $5 per month. Plus, bonus, you'll be supporting this fully independent podcast, and we thank you for that. So don't miss out. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Bob Seska! All-time favorites all day long. It's our time. Just reach and I will be there. Watch us shine. I've been proud but had doubts, can't see straight. I'm inside out, I've been right, I've been wrong. And sometimes I can't be strong. We're knocked out, pushed around, won't give up. When we're broken down, we can't quit, we can't stop. We can only say what's in our hearts when you can't.
Oh, this is one of the best. This is the Bitter Elegance. And a song called It's Our Time. TheBitterElegance.com. Link in the description under this episode at BobSeska.com. Also, BobSeska.com/music to submit your music to the show.
I smell a hit.
Yeah,
Smell a hit there. That's a great one.
This is a fantastic one. The Bitter Elegance is one of the best we've been playing this band since the very beginning, and I can't get enough. So please go and support The Bitter Elegance. You'll be glad you did. Get these records in your record collection now. Get going. All right. So let's see. Oh, you know what? We have a top five list. Top five.
Yes.
Top five time. Okay, here we go.
Here we go. The top five other things Trump stole from the White House besides top secrets. Number five, all the Sharpies. Number four, ketchup. Number three, tasteful nude photos of Lindsey Graham. Number two, 200 rolls of toilet paper. And the number one other thing Trump stole from the White House, the presidential Viagra.
Wow. Never leave home without it. Never leave Mar-a-Lago without it. It's like, damn it. How did he get all the way to Bedminster without this?
none of those were terribly surprising except for the Viagra. I didn't see that one coming.
All right. Excellent. So moving along here.
Yes.
Let's talk about Biden's list of successes so far. And then I want to get back into the raid and the ramifications of the raid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there was this graphic that Aaron Rupar posted yesterday from MSNBC. And I wanted to call attention to this because I feel as though if you're not retweeting shit like this on Twitter or sharing it on Facebook or whatever, you don't get to complain about Democratic messaging, okay? So, yes, because this is the real deal here. This is the message. There's a list of successes here, and it's not even really all of them, but it's a nice
the highlights.
It's a nice highlight reel of Biden's big wins, as it's called here on MSNBC. This is from Morning Joe, believe it or not. President Biden's big wins: the Inflation Reduction Act, the CHIPS Act, the PACT Act, bipartisan gun law. That's a giant one. He killed Al Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. Gas prices are falling. I think it's the 63rd straight day that gas prices have come down.
Yes.
Huge jobs numbers. We continue to add jobs, and with that, low unemployment. The confirmation of Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson is another big deal. Leading support for Ukraine. Don't forget that Joe Biden did lead the way as far as punishing Russia and helping Ukraine in this war. Yes. Expansion of NATO. We now have two new member nations in NATO.
Amazing.
The American Rescue Plan, the bipartisan infrastructure law, still more dings. The Senate negotiating an update to the Electoral Count Act. That is underway. So that's a pretty big list for someone who's only been president for a year and a half.
Yeah,
and nice.
He's even made progress with this impossible Congress. You know, he's gotten deals through that nobody thought could even happen. Everybody thought we should try, and try he and the Democrats in Congress did and succeeded. This list, as I said earlier, dusts the records of every other president in terms of the economy, certainly. And in number, just the sheer number of things that have been accomplished here. And it's just so hard to see why his numbers are as they have been. I don't understand it. Things are absolutely getting better. And maybe it just takes a while for the curve, the public opinion curve, to catch up with everything else. But I think we're making some progress in that area. But Bob's absolutely right. We complain, so many of us, about Democratic messaging, and there's something very simple you could do, and I've asked for it before, and not just for me, but for anybody you see on Twitter who makes sense, who is, you know, they're telling the truth, and it makes sense, and they've delivered a good message. Maybe they've put it cleverly, or maybe they've, you know, included facts that you think people should know. Here's how you amplify the Democratic message. You retweet them. You don't just click like and keep scrolling. That doesn't help anything. Amplify all of the people who are saying the things that you want to say. And we all need to do that.
Yeah, and I was saying on Hal Sparks' show last week that we have a party where there are 82 million chefs in the kitchen. In fact, I've said this on this show many, many times. 82 million chefs. We all think we know exactly what the Democratic Party is doing, and there's really no cohesive intention from Democratic Party supporters, for example, liberals, the left in general.
Right.
And so consequently, we have a hard time sharing shit like this, also because if we do, we're accused of shilling for the Democratic Party, cheerleading for the Democratic Party.
I've sailed past that. That used to be a concern of mine. I don't care. I'll shill all day long. It has to be done. We all have to do it.
Well, I understand that some people still have that concern because they go into their mentions and they see people like Cenk Uygur and others saying, hey, why are you such a cheerleader? Why are you such a cheerleader for the Democratic Party? It's just, well, it's not about that. It's about understanding the dynamic of our elections here. And if the Democrats lose, that means the Republicans win. And when the Republicans win, well, we know what happens then. We know that they will barricade the door and not leave office, passing horrible laws, ostracizing and alienating LGBTQ people, black people, women on down the line. You know, the whole list of horror shows, for God's sake. It's either the Democratic Party or that. And if you don't want that, you have no choice but to vote for the Democrats and to support the Democrats and to hope the Democrats win. I have no particular loyalty to any political organization.
Same here.
I have a loyalty to the concept of winning, and the side that is the most virtuous and comes closest to my values, I hope that's the side that wins. Boiled down, that is the essence of where my loyalty is. That's the essence of where my cheerleading is.
I will shill for the Democrats if it in any way keeps the Republicans from holding power, because I know what I don't want. Mm-hmm. Are the Democrats great? Are they perfect? The Republicans, you don't want that. This is the party that bans books, that infringes on the rights of women and gays and blacks and Latinos. This is a party of oppression and taking away your freedoms and taking away your votes. And then there are the Democrats. And say what you will about the Democrats, but they're not that. Mm-hmm. And that is what I'm voting against.
Right, right. So
that may be another factor, by the way, if I can insert this. Another factor in Democratic motivation is even though Trump is not running in 22, the election is about him.
Mm-hmm.
And that, too, will and can help Democratic voters be motivated to the polls.
Yeah, we have to, I think, in this process, recenter, refocus where our politics are, because the trajectory of our politics right now, It's traveling in a direction that leads to what I think is disaster. And there have been some things that have happened over the past year, certainly over the past month or so, that have been encouraging and may end up forestalling that eventuality or maybe sidestepping it entirely. And so what we want to do is keep that momentum rolling as best we can. And obviously knowing realistically that it's almost impossible to keep that kind of momentum rolling in perpetuity, there are going to be some setbacks along the way. But I think it's imperative that we do what we can to make sure that fill in the blank, civil war or some sort of political, you know, spate of political violence that begins to worsen and worsen and worsen until there's a civil war. We're not headed in a good direction, or at least we haven't been.
We keep hearing and seeing news that leaves our mouths agape. We can't believe. And my wife and I look at each other occasionally but only occasionally. But we look at each other occasionally and say, did you ever think when you were in school, when you were a kid in grade school, that the world would be like this? Did you ever think? No, it spun out of control. And although it sounded melodramatic at first, it is true. We are very close to losing democracy. We never thought it would happen. We never thought it could happen. A lot of us still don't think it could happen. And maybe it won't happen, as Bob just said. Maybe we can save it.
Yeah.
But everybody needs to know just how close we are to that precipice.
Yeah, and bear in mind, once again, not to belabor the point, but what we're sandbagging against here are people like, obviously, Donald Trump and things like this. Dumbness like this. For example, Trump is now calling for the immediate release of the unredacted affidavit, which is the document that the judge who signed off, the magistrate judge who signed off on this warrant, wrote up in response to the FBI's request. And now this details why the judge felt there was probable cause that these three statutes that we listed earlier involving espionage, involving obstruction of justice, et cetera, that Donald Trump was in the process of committing those crimes.
Right.
That's the document that Donald Trump wants released. And I don't know if he realizes what's going to be in there, because what they're seeing is if the affidavit is released, then it's going to reveal the names of people that Donald Trump's disciples can dox and intimidate.
Right. And some of them are Donald Trump's disciples, I suspect.
Right.
There's the expressed concern is that their reputations would be at stake.
Yeah.
Well, you have to ask yourself with whom, you know, in whose eyes would their reputation be at stake? But look at what happened here. The news media forced the Justice Department's hand on this. The Republicans are whining, transparency, transparency. Trump even says, in the interest of transparency, release this affidavit. And as Bob just said, you can't do that because it's going to squirrel the whole investigation because it's going to give away the names of witnesses and the methods that the Department of Justice is using to conduct its investigation and the grand jury. And that can't be done. It isn't done in any investigation. It couldn't and shouldn't and hopefully won't be done in this one. But that's what the Republicans and Trump were whining for. The news media, the Washington Post, NBC, Scripps Newspapers, and CNN, I think, was the fourth one, went to court to ask the judge in this case to release the affidavit. Now, the judge can release the affidavit, can refuse to release the affidavit, or the judge can now hold a hearing and hear the Justice Department argue why it doesn't want this released and hear the news media argue why it does want these things released. I kind of think the Justice Department is going to win out on this and the news media will lose. But now that the news media took this to court, it forced the Justice Department to come out with a public answer as to why they can't, won't, shouldn't release that affidavit for the raid. And so that didn't have to happen, but it did. And now that the Justice Department has said, no, we don't want to release the affidavit, that's given the Republicans even more fuel to say, aha, they're covering up.
Yes.
And so that's where we are. And thanks, news media, Washington Post and NBC and Scripps for forcing the Justice Department's hand on that issue. I think the judge will rule in their favor.
Yes. And here's where it may get interesting from a strategy point of view, at least coming from the DOJ and the FBI, of course. And that is, Merrick Garland, between the time it came out that there was the raid, which was last Monday, and the time that Merrick Garland stepped up to a podium and spoke on Thursday, that was several days of Merrick Garland giving Donald Trump and Fox News Channel and the Republicans a whole ton of rope to hang themselves with. And there was that nice gap of time before the warrant was released and all the rest of it for all of them to twist themselves into knots and come up with ridiculous excuses, some of which we read at the top of the show.
Right.
And strategically, that was a beautiful thing to observe, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was that stuttering boy.
Yes, exactly right. It continues now. I love that. So now it may be happening again with the affidavit, and I'll explain. It seems like the Justice Department might be, what do you say? How do you put this? Might be allowing Trump and Lindsey Graham and Fox News to spend a bunch of days yelling, release the affidavit, release the affidavit. We want to see the affidavit. Give us the affidavit. Show us the affidavit for days and days and days and make sure they are fully on the record. Make sure that they have wrapped their arms and legs around the concept of releasing the affidavit.
Right.
And then if it finally, like a redacted version, for example, of the affidavit drops, because of course they'll redact the methods and sources from the
dogma.
Yeah. But the rest of it will be there, and the rest of it is going to fuck Donald Trump.
It's going to be damning. It's going to be very damning.
Yes, it's hard to relate how badly it's going to screw over Donald Trump. And but what maybe Merrick Garland is doing here is giving them more rope. Here, have some more rope. Yeah.
I hope we've learned our lesson not to underestimate him. I see it's very quiet out there in Garland critic land.
Mm-hmm.
The Garland critics have gone quite quiet in the last week.
Yeah.
And rightly so. He was doing something all along, and you were just mad because you didn't know about it. But now you know how serious Garland is about this. And of course, Trump land knows how serious Garland is as well.
Right. And Mary Trump said last week, and I keep repeating this because it's really insightful.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's our friend Mary Trump. Yes. She said that her uncle is so preoccupied with heuristics, the appearance of people, whether they're, you know, from central casting and they have a cool name or something like that.
Right.
He's
really
into that. And so consequently, he looks at Merrick Garland, who's soft spoken and diminutive, and thinks, oh my God, I can steamroll this guy. Yes, he's a weak, soft, low energy guy.
Even some Democrats were saying that about him just because he's diminutive.
Right, which is insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy took down Timothy McVeigh, for fuck's sake?
What does he have to do to prove himself?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, this is it. I mean, this is the proof is in the past week or so that Merrick Garland means business. And not just in terms of his prosecution of this, but also into Ur's investigation leading to a prosecution, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But it's also the PR strategy behind it, which I talked about in the context of last week and what he may be doing with the affidavit now. So please keep screaming for the affidavit, Red Hats. Please, please bring it on. Screw yourselves a little more. Keep doing that. You know, it's like I compared it the other day to a bunch of guys who think that they can just ram their body into the door and break down the door. Mm-hmm. But all they're doing is running into the door and dislocating their shoulders,
right?
Collapsing in a heap on the ground in front of the door. That's exactly what they keep doing over and over again.
And I hope that's how it turns out here. Yeah. They will seize having failed with all of those excuses you listed.
Yeah.
Now they're onto this. They latch onto whatever they can find, whatever a buoy, a life preserver they can find, and make hay out of that. Mm-hmm. So their latest cause is the release of this affidavit. Before that, it was the release of the warrant. What are they going to want next? They want it all, obviously, because they're always going to find something to complain about, something to latch onto and to try to make the Democrats look bad.
Here's another thing. The longer this goes and the longer they keep making these excuses, the more they're contradicted by further news. And we have one of the latest bits of news that dropped, I believe it was a couple days ago, about how Donald Trump's lawyer may have lied to the FBI, which is bad. See also Mike Flynn, bad. Right. Lying to the FBI, not good, as Donald Trump would say, not good. At least one lawyer for Trump signed a written statement back in June asserting that all material marked as classified and held in boxes in storage at Mar-a-Lago had been returned to the government for people and with knowledge of the documents.
The raid proved that to be untrue. Whether the lawyer knew it or not is yet to be determined, I suppose. But he swore to something that, as it turns out, wasn't true.
That's exactly right. Oh, my God. And by the way, don't believe Donald Trump's cool the temperature bullshit.
No. In fact, I took it as a threat.
Oh, yeah. He said this in the context of continuing to foment the conspiracy theories and the reasons why his people now are so bellicose and we've got these attacks. There's another guy. Pennsylvania man was charged today with threatening to kill FBI personnel. So it goes on and on and on. But in this case, Trump said the country is in a very dangerous position. And what he doesn't say in that context is, because of me. That's why we're in a very dangerous position.
Where and how did he say that? Where did that quote come from? Do you know?
Fox News Digital.
Okay.
Fox News
Digital. He also wrote a letter to Merrick Garland. Trump wrote a letter to Merrick Garland and said, a lot of people are very angry. And to me, that's a threat.
Yeah, it is a threat.
To the attorney general who's prosecuting him.
Right. So
keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that, too. That goes into the file.
Once again, not good. It is not good.
Another dislocated shoulder. Yes.
Yes. I love imagining that. Like Don Jr. getting a whole head of steam and running at full bore right up to the door, bashing into it and just falling down into a clump on the ground.
I don't think it would be hard. I think he'd go down easily.
He said, Donald Trump said, there's tremendous anger like I've never seen before over all of the scams and this new one, years of scams and witch hunts and now this. And then he said that he will do whatever he can to help the country, adding that the temperature has to be brought down. But you just don't say the temperature has to be brought down and continue to raise the temperature.
Right. Because he's still calling it a scam and he's still firing them up. He was saying people are very angry about their feeling that they were cheated. It's a warning. It's a threat. Mm-hmm. And what was the last line to turn down the temperature? Well, there are a couple of ways to do that. One, you know, he could come clean and prove everybody wrong. Or they could stop the investigation, which is what he really wants. That's how he wants the temperature turned down. He wants the temperature turned down on the people who are angry because they were scammed. And mentioning those people in that context is a warning and a threat.
So earlier in the show, you mentioned the IRS thing and the 87,000 new IRS workers.
That they continue to perpetuate.
Right. I want to talk about that from the perspective of dangerous talk, you know, talking, okay. You know, in the context of Donald Trump saying, bring down the temperature. Well, no one's listening to him. The least of all, Fox News Channel. Brian Kilmeade was endangering IRS workers.
And congressional Republicans doing the same.
Yes, yes. And no apology whatsoever from Fox News Channel over this. And this is near and dear to my heart right here. It's a weird thing to say when it comes to the IRS. But I'll talk about all of that and more. We've got some good COVID news coming up here in just a second. Yeah, all that and more still to come on today's show. Back after this.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Brand new music to the show, at least, from a group called River Wireless. That's the word river and then W-H-Y-L-E-S-S. River Wireless. A song called Fast Like a Match. It's a brand new single from their new album, Monoflora. Riverwireless.com, link in the description. We're going to be hearing from River Wireless a lot more on the show, I think. Yeah. Can't wait to play more songs from this album. BobSeska.com/musictosubmit. Thank you. Okay. Getting back into things here on our big Tuesday show. Where did we leave off? So, let's see. Oh, yes. I want to talk about the IRS a little bit. And, you know, it's a weird thing to say, Buzz, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the IRS because my parents met while both working for the IRS in Washington, D.C. And, in fact, shocking, my mom worked there and was not an agent. This is all to lead into what I think are one of the most dangerous series of attacks, one of the most potentially violent series of attacks to come out of Fox News in a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's in the context of all the attacks aimed at FBI agents, for example.
Right.
So in this context, though, we're talking about the Inflation Reduction Act, which will be signed by Joe Biden any day now, or has it already been?
I think today is the day.
Okay, gotcha.
I haven't gotten a bulletin that it's happened yet, but
yes,
today's the day.
Also, by the way, today is the Wyoming primary. So it'll be interesting to see whether Liz Cheney can... hang on to her seat.
It's a foregone conclusion. We should have a moment of silence for Liz
Cheney. Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a shame.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about how some folks like Giuliani and Lindsey Graham are willing to lay down their careers. Some Yahoo red hats are willing to lay down their lives for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Likewise, Liz Cheney laid down her career. to stand up for what's right. And even though we agree with her, disagree with her vehemently on so many things, we appreciate this. This is why I posted on my Twitter feed this week, the enemy of my enemy is Liz Cheney. I'm sorry to see her go, but that's she go she will at the end of her term.
Yeah.
She will certainly be around for the January 6th committee hearings that continue next month.
In a two-party system, you want both of the parties to be cognizant of reality. You know,
right.
If you've got one party that is wrong on the issues, but also wrong when it comes to patriotism, wrong when it comes to politics, wrong when it comes to crime and the rule of law, that's a disaster waiting to happen, because we all know this. We're on the precipice right. of disaster at any moment if the Trump Republicans continue to win. Well, you know what? The other side is always going to have ideas that we disagree with, and that's certainly right. the case with Liz Cheney.
We long for those days again where we debated just that.
Yes, but at least she's putting nation over party. At least she understands the rule of law, and at least she sees Donald Trump as the con man and criminal that he is. And that's an important distinction to make. Republicans are always going to be Republicans, no doubt about that. They're not going to suddenly agree with Democrats, otherwise we would just have a one-party system. So in that context, yes, she's wrong on all the issues, but she's right when it counts, when it comes down to the super duper important things that hold the Republic together. And that's the important consideration. But back to this IRS thing and Inflation Reduction Act. We've heard the Republicans all week long talking about how there are going to be, quote unquote, 87,000 new IRS agents.
Armed.
Yeah. Yes. And as if that wasn't bad enough, Brian Kilmeade said that the IRS is, quote, Joe Biden's new army that will, quote, hunt down and kill middle class taxpayers that don't pay enough. This is something that Brian Kilmeade said in prime time in the most popular, most viewed hour of Fox News programming all day long. That is a disaster waiting to happen.
Right, because Republicans, red hats, Trump, yahoos are already fired up about the FBI raid, and now they hear falsely that 87,000 armed IRS agents are coming to their home to kill them, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
this is all some dumb folks need to hear to become violent themselves.
That's right. And Ronna McDaniel, the chairwoman of the RNC, tweeted, how long until Democrats send the IRS SWAT team after your kids' lemonade stand?
Bullshit.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of shit that if you've got these people who will believe any horse shit that is ejaculated out of Donald Trump's mouth.
No matter how preposterous, as is the case of the lemonade stand, for example, that's never going to happen. And yet tens of millions of people will believe it.
So what ends up happening is you get someone who's refusing to pay their taxes, who's one of these doomsday preppers or, you know, conspiracy theorist,
Don't recognize the authority of the United States government.
Right. Militia guys and so on, weekend warriors and et cetera. And they hear this sort of thing, of course they're going to arm up and they're going to be ready for any IRS agent who comes knocking at their door. That's why some IRS agents in the criminal division specifically have to be armed, because they're going up against people who are also armed.
And it's why security has to be stepped up at IRS buildings, because some of these yahoos are going to go for the nest.
Right.
They're going to go for where they can get the most IRS agents.
And by the way, little statistic here, as far as the IRS goes and the use of firearms, there have been more accidental discharges of IRS firearms than there have been actual intentional discharges of firearms.
I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better knowing that.
Well, I mean, it's just the accidents exceed the actual need to use.
I know. That's kind of a good news, bad news thing. Yeah.
Well, no one's been injured in those accidental discharges.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But they have to report that, and there have been more times in which the gun has accidentally gone off in whatever context than they're
intentional. Sure, because that's not what they do normally.
Plus, of course, contrary to what Ronna McDaniel wrote, there is no IRS SWAT team, of course, and no, this fictitious entity will never pursue a child's lemonade stand because the IRS SWAT team doesn't exist. IRS. Then the real life IRS doesn't do things like this.
And it never will. It's in no plan.
Right.
The 87,000 is a lie. The 87,000 armed is a lie.
Yeah.
It's all a lie, and it's preposterous. It's not going to happen.
We're talking about 87,000 workers generally. There are support staff. There are people like my mom, when my mom worked for the IRS, who wasn't an agent, who was doing other tasks that are involved with, you know, running an agency like that. It's obvious. And these 87,000 new employees are not there to be dropped into the IRS today. They're going to be phased in over the course of 10 years as IRS workers retire and quit their jobs or move to another department, another agency, maybe somewhere else in Treasury. Yeah, yeah.
It's Biden's army of 87,000 armed IRS agents.
Yes.
Nothing strikes fear in the heart of a still country than more than that.
Yes, the bullshit keeps on rolling, for sure.
Bullshit.
Yes. And also, one thing that's really going to be fun and interesting to see play out is that Eric Hirschman has been subpoenaed by the grand jury investigating the January 6th attack.
Right. You may have seen him on the January 6th hearings, the televised hearings. He's the one who had the little bat, the little justice bat hanging on the wall behind him, along with some weird sculptures. We learned from those excerpts that we heard Eric Hirschman speak, former White House lawyer. We learned from those excerpts that he's not afraid to express his opinion.
Yes.
And that he doesn't mince words. We learned that although he hung in there and probably was parts of things that he shouldn't have been part of, he was one of the people who kept warning Trump and Mark Meadows, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. You're going to get, guys, you're going to get us all in trouble. That was Eric Hirschman. And so I think he will speak freely now. I know he will for the grand jury. And he can't claim attorney-client privilege there because we're talking about criminal. It doesn't apply when the statute being examined is fraud. There's no, you know, in a criminal case, he can't claim attorney-client privilege.
And much like us, Buzz, Eric Hirschman is endowed with the gift of gab. And that's always a good thing when it comes to testifying before a grand jury.
Yes, yes.
So, yes, Godspeed, Eric Hirschman. All right.
He'll probably get a damn podcast now.
Well, that's inevitable. Holy shit. They hand them out when you're born. I think that's what happens. You come through the birth canal and there's, oh, hey, look, another one. Here's your microphone. You've got a podcast now. So let's see here. One thing about local politics that I've been noticing, and I want to mention this here at the end of the show because I think it's super duper important. You know, my thing is focusing attention on state and local politics whenever we can. Maybe prioritizing that a little higher than we have in the past.
We absolutely have to. As we've said before, the threat to all of us right now is at the local level.
Yeah.
This is where our school boards are making bizarro rules for the schools, whether it be masks or books or don't say gay. That's where this is all happening. So local and state elections couldn't be more important.
Yes, and in the context of local elections, seek out your county council members who support the idea of capping rents, rent increases, rent controls, things like that, because this is going to become a more and more important political football at the local level as time goes on, especially as things shake out with the economy post-COVID. And part of the context of this is a story that came down the other day. It was reported in Bloomberg, the New York Times, CNN, Yahoo News, Washington Post. Rental costs in the United States are rising at their fastest pace in more than three decades, with the median rent surpassing $2,000 a month for the first time ever.
Right.
That is enormous. Now, this is not a Joe Biden problem. This is not a Democratic Party problem at the national level. This is a local problem. This is a county politics problem.
Yeah.
County politics, that's where you solve this by applying rent controls, caps on how much rent can be increased year over year, how often rents can be increased over the course of a year. And I'll give you a good example here in Montgomery County. There's a council member at large named, his last name is Juwando. And during the course of COVID, he has passed a couple of different laws that capped the rent increase here, capped it at anywhere between 0.4% and I think the latest one is 4.4%. That's the highest rent can go up with a new lease if you're renewing your lease, et cetera. And
this
so
is
that's
a huge issue.
Yeah.
This is a huge issue in the cities that make up the Florida Tampa Bay area.
Yes.
And I know it's a huge issue across the country. And local politics is very much involved in this, and local city and county councils are beginning to address this issue because of the pressure being put upon them. Mm-hmm. And a little subtext to all of this is there's been a spate, I guess, recently of real estate companies, including Zillow, going around buying up houses in neighborhoods and converting them to rentals and then charging insane rental prices.
Wow.
Do you know that Zillow and other real estate companies are even buying up trailer homes? Homes. They're buying up trailer homes. Why? Why would they ever? Because they can then jack up the rent. And this is happening. So whether you have a trailer or an apartment or a house or a condo or a townhouse or whatever, if you're renting, you're screwed. And local politics is, if anybody's going to address or can address this problem, it is, as Bob's pointed out, your local politicians.
So what you need to do is lobby your local Democrats, vote for local Democrats who support things like this, re-elect them, elect them for the first time, if this is the first time they're up for election.
Right.
Do what you can locally to make this a possibility, because so many people are getting priced out of being able to rent apartments.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so consequently, I think you're seeing a lot of homelessness in places like Los Angeles, et cetera, where people, you know, there's not a... It's not a fucking choice. People don't choose to be homeless. They get edged out either by the healthcare system. They get edged out by the Veterans Affairs system. They get edged out by exorbitant rents, especially, you know, San Francisco is a great example of that, where property values are so high. Right now, across the country, housing values are going through the roof, and consequently, rents are going up with some of the reasons you were talking about too, Buzz, with Zillow buying up these properties. And so this is an important local politics thing that we can all get behind, and I think we all should. This is something that I'm out on a limb on. I hope this kind of catches on.
I think it has to, because a lot of people are being pushed out. Again, a side note, if I may, I was reading this morning about an apartment complex in the Tampa Bay area that is providing free housing for artists provided they teach art.
Wow.
And so it's a way of, you know, it's always been more difficult for members of the art community, or radio or podcasting to succeed, you know, to be able to pay their bills, without some kind of help. And this is a way for them to earn that help, as it were. And, I think it's kind of a good idea.
So let's wrap up with some pretty good news here. There's a huge possible COVID breakthrough. And this is one of the things that, Kimberly and I have been extra cautious when it comes to COVID. And I know some of our other friends have, Jody Hamilton in particular. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a game changer for us. This will, I think, allow us to, and I would say Kimberly and I are back to 80-85% of our normal lifestyle. So it's not we're still locked down or anything like that. But we're cautious about giant crowds and things like that. We're not going to be attending the Sexy Liberal Show in D.C. For that reason. But this is going to break things wide open, I think, if it's actually approved. There is a new nasal spray. This is something that will actually prevent you from getting COVID in the first place.
An inoculation, yeah.
Yes. This is coming out of the labs at UC Berkeley. They've created a nasal spray that can prevent and treat COVID, according to a press release from that lab. So far, the spray has been found effective against COVID-19 in mice. The spray can be used as a preventative measure to avoid contracting the virus at all. Holy fucking shit.
That would be enormous. They've been looking for a vaccine that would work. See, the COVID vaccines we've had to this point don't work like other vaccines do. They've been working, these labs have been working on a new vaccine that would, like other vaccines, prevent you from getting the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like a breakthrough in that category. I'd look for more developments along this line, but this is very happy news. And of course, Jill Biden is on our minds today, as she is the latest in the White House to have contracted COVID-19.
That's right. Yeah. The reason this is so encouraging is not just obviously from a personal point of view. But from a defeating COVID point of view, this is going to be, this is like the silver bullet, because it cuts right through several different things. One of them, first of all, you no longer get excuse makers who are afraid of getting a shot, who are afraid of needles, and they don't want to get the vaccine because they're afraid of needles. That's eliminated right off the top.
Yep.
The other thing is, this will substitute for the notion that Americans are at the point where we don't want to sacrifice anymore. We don't want to, you know, wear masks in crowded spaces. We don't want to do the right thing when it comes to making the personal sacrifices involved in a pandemic. So consequently, science needs to step in and be the solution. And this is the science that will be the solution. Fingers crossed, because this still has to get approved by the FDA. They still have yet to do human tests, I believe. But this news is from the 12th. So this is recent stuff. This is 4 days ago, this is reported. So hopefully, all the fingers and toes crossed that this will be effective and this will get approved and we can actually go forth and do this so we can all get back to normal life, right?
Science, again, making life easier for lazy people.
That's exactly right. Lazy and selfish people.
Yes, stubborn.
Yes, stupid. We just can't do shit like this, and it has been so disillusioning. I'm not in that same disillusioned place I was maybe earlier in the year. We've talked about this already.
Right.
And I'm grateful to be in a more hopeful place. And
we all are. I think there's a great sense of relief over the last two Tuesdays that we've been doing these shows. We've had a lot to be encouraged and hopeful and optimistic about, and we didn't have those things before. So I think a lot of us are feeling better now.
Okay, so we've got the Shadow Docket coming up next on our Patreon page. We've done kind of an epic show today. It's just like one of those things where I was concerned, did I get all the news listed here on my cheat sheet? And I guess the answer to that question is yes.
Delightful. This is the best show we've ever done.
By the way, happy 30th anniversary to the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah.
Premiered 30 years ago. I believe it was yesterday. One of the greatest half-hour sitcoms. I don't even want to categorize it as a sitcom because there were dramatic elements to it. There were obviously funny elements to it. It was its own genre that started launched a bunch of other TV shows that were very, very similar to that, from Curb Your Enthusiasm to The Office. And so on. Just a groundbreaking show and one of the funniest of all time. Yeah, if you want to binge watch something from the late 90s, I urge you to start with the Larry Sanders Show.
I think it's timeless. I think you'll laugh no matter what.
In so many ways, it informed my view of the entertainment business that I would later come to be a part of. Yeah,
it's accurate. It's true.
It very much is accurate. So, congratulations to the Larry Sanders Show. All right. Let's see. Coming up next on the Shadow Docket Show on our Patreon page. By the way, BobSeskaShow.com. Sign up for $5 a month. And you get the Shadow Docket shows every Tuesday and Thursday. All the rest of the news that didn't fit into the free portion of the show, we shove into the Shadow Docket. Got some disturbing news about the climate, but hopefully we'll be able to sidestep that with some further action on top of the Inflation Reduction Act. And let's see what else. Interesting poll question about ballot measures. I want to talk about that, too. Plus, a word about Newsweek. I got to say something about Newsweek coming up here. And some good news about a product that's going to be sold over the counter. We'll talk about that, too.
Well, that's a lot of stuff for us to cover in the Shadow Docket.
Whole lot more to come. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.